You are listening to the Fresh Take Network.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. It's Sunday. You know what that means. It's race day. My name is Kelsey, and this is F101. It's the Imola Grand Prix. It is race day, 4.9 kilometers, top speed, 321 kilometers an hour, number of laps, 63. We're in Italy. We are on home ground for Ferrari, the Scuderia. The crowds were out in attendance today. The weather was overcast and not exactly that fantastic. But let's get into the hot topics today. Yesterday, I mentioned that Bottas had a malfunction in his car at the end of qualifying. Turned out it was a fuel pump issue. Ferrari, being the world-class power unit provider, decided that they're going to swap out every single fuel pump in every one of their cars that they supply power units to, which means all the Haas, all the Alfa Romeo, and Ferrari themselves, they all got brand new fuel pumps to eliminate this issue and to guarantee the quality of the product that they supply. Personally, Ferrari, I mean, it's another win-win. It's a great decision to stand by their product, to take the initiative to say, hey, guys, you know what? I know we provide you with a product. This is just that extra care and attention that we're going to give to you. You may be our competition, but you trust us enough to give you a product that works day in and day out. And guess what? We're going to give you some new fuel pumps. Hopefully it doesn't take away from their overall salary caps for the teams. I think it's just good business from Ferrari. I mean, let's be honest, they're not really going to be worried about Alfa Romeo or Haas. I mean, they're still mid-level, mid-grid teams. Ferrari, top of the pack as it normally is. I mean, it's just good business. It's good faith, and they're standing by their product. So, fantastic. In other news, Chinese driver Guan Yu Zhou had to start from the pit lanes today because of an accident that happened in the sprint race yesterday. So what this means, and the reason why he started in pit lane, is that when you qualify for any race, whether it's a sprint race or you're just qualifying on regular Saturday for the race on Sunday, that you have to not violate what's called the pack frame rule. And that what that states is that any car has to essentially be under lock and key in the condition that they had qualified in. So because they had to do extra repairs through the night and this morning, they broke this rule, which means they were going to start at the back of the grid anyways because they didn't finish qualifying. But let's say they finished eighth and they had to repair the car overnight, they would still violate this rule and they would have to start at the back of the pack. So he started at the back of the pack today, and not a massive deal. He worked his way up through the grid today. He didn't make a whole lot of, didn't make a whole lot of noise. He did do a solid race, didn't make the top 10, unfortunately. But he did the best that he could with the weather conditions that were provided and a little bit of drama in the first couple laps of the race. I mean, he worked his way up. There's not a whole lot more that you can ask for a driver to do that when you start with no warm-up, no formation lap. You start cold in the pit lane, and then you essentially has to catch up the best that he possibly could. I mean, I don't think anybody did it or has done it any better than him in the last couple seasons, so good for him. And that is going to be all for the hot topics. Let's move on to the race. Weather playing a major factor again today, but not in the way you might think. No rain forecast. There was rain forecast throughout the race, but none fell until the last two laps of the race on only two corners of the circuit. So it wasn't a major factor today. The track was wet and it was still overcast. There was a major downpour during the F2 race a couple hours before F1 had taken the track. So the track was wet. There was still some grip. There were some dry spots, but it was not as dry as the drivers had hoped. And that really came into play today. drivers deciding to go on the intermediate tires, and that's essentially a combination of full wet tires. They're the ones with the blue Pirelli name around the brim, and then the slicks. So whichever color you want to go with, they normally go with the soft, so that would be the red rim tires, but they went with the intermediates today. Those are green. You can see they've got a little bit of grip. It's for essentially, you know, slightly wet roads, not a whole lot of puddles or not a massive downpour. So that's what they started with today. But with those tire covers, again, they haven't adjusted the temperature to keep these tires warm. It was kind of like watching baby deer walking on ice. They were going in the direction that they wanted to, not necessarily in the pace or the control that they wanted to. And you saw that on the very first lap. Great start this time. Everybody in the grid, clean starts, nice and fast. Everyone was on par for, you know, changing gears, getting a nice momentum, until they got into turn three, where Daniel Ricciardo unfortunately lost control, taking a corner a little bit wide, hitting the side of Carlos Sainz. The poor guy gets spun out. He lands in the gravel, so he didn't hit the wall. That's the fine part. The only thing is that Ferrari's cars are so low and that gravel is so high that he ended up beaching himself for the second race in a row, almost the exact same spot. If you're looking corner to corner, pretty much the exact same spot in the gravel, and he was done. He didn't even complete one full actual racing lap. Man, something's following Sainz after he signed this contract. He did a little bit better in qualification, but he's just literally, if anything can go wrong, it is going wrong for him in the races. It's nothing that he did this time. He took the corner, gave Ricciardo plenty of room. It's just with the tires and the grip and the track, there was not a whole lot that he could do. It's just more embarrassing for the guy. Like, he barely did anything and he was out. So, you know, I hope he can keep his head up high, knowing that it wasn't his fault this time and that he set a good track time when he did qualify and that he was really going to be an integral part of this race, helping out his team member, helping him get points, helping the Ferrari get points, you know, just and boosting them up in the points lead. But unfortunately, Carlos Sainz out for the race again, second race in a row. Same lap, again, a little bit of argy-bargy, a little bit of drama, again, unintentionally. Mick Schumacher hit the white line that indicates which way where your racing surface is. Lost control and clipped the side of Fernando Alonso's Alpine car. Initially, all the instruments stated that there was no damage reported, that the shape of the car was fine, there was no missing pieces, there was nothing that was going to fly off. Until seven laps later, Fernando Alonso's bombing down the straight stretch, you know, doing 200 and some odd miles an hour, and the right side pod just, it's like a little bomb went off. Just the entire side just blows apart mid-race. Obviously, there had to have been a small crack in the carbon fiber that the wind just caught, and it ripped, you know, a hole in there that a full-sized man could fit in the side pod. It was massive. Unfortunately, I mean, you can't drive like that. It's a danger to the other drivers. It's a danger to Fernando Alonso. So, you know, he was out of the race again, seven laps in. Nothing that he could have done in this case. No penalties awarded to Mick Schumacher or to Daniel Ricciardo for their incidents. When it comes to weather like they had and the track that they had and the type of grip and the type of tires, there's some things that are just called racing incidents. And in this case, he clipped them unintentionally, Schumacher to Alonso. It wasn't intentional, but it did still result in Alonso not being able to finish the race. Unfortunately for him, he was looking really, really good from qualifying. He's kind of in the same boat as Sainz. If it wasn't for bad luck, he wouldn't have any luck at all. Between mechanical failures, engine failures, you know, crashes, damage, side pods blowing up, he's doing everything he possibly can to keep this car on the road and to get as much points as he possibly can. And it's just, if it can go wrong, it is going wrong for him. So Again, unfortunately, an early exit for Fernando Alonso. I was really hoping to see what he could do in this type of weather. Normally, he's a really good fair weather driver. And by that, I mean the weather's not perfect and the weather's not horrible. He drives really well in the overcast, slightly cold, not perfect weather. So it would have been a really good race for him. You know, it's maybe next time. Hopefully next time it's supposed to be nicer weather for the next race. So hopefully we'll see Alonso qualify much higher, be able to finish a race and get those points that he rightly deserves. And essentially, I mean, after that, it was essentially a pretty drama-free race, which is nice to see because that means that strategies, tire strategies, driving strategies took over the theme of the race. And personally, I'm giving all the credit to Daniel Ricciardo for the what I'm calling the great tire swap. So to go back a little bit, the weather today in Imola was overcast. Like I said, the track was wet. So everyone started on intermediate tires. So because it wasn't normally as warm as it is, the track's not drying out and the water's not dispersing off the track nearly as fast as it normally would if it was a nice hot day and these guys were able to go on slick tires because you're pushing the water out that much faster. Since the crash, when he put Sights into the gravel, he toppled all the way down to 17th. So at this point, Ricciardo's got absolutely nothing to lose. So he's trying to help Lando Norris, who's way up on the grid, without actually being beside him. And the way he did this was about 15 laps in. The track is kind of dry, kind of not. You can see where they're racing. You're looking at the weather, and they're covering the weather Doppler radar to see if it's going to rain, when it's going to rain, and essentially it's telling them it may or it may not rain. They're giving them time frames, and the time frames are coming and going, but they're still not saying yes or no either way. So I think at that point, Daniel Ricciardo is just like, you know what, screw it. I'm going to go and try something different. So he goes from the intermediates, he goes to soft, slick tires. So what this means is that there's absolutely no physical grip on the tire when you go to slicks, but the temperature of the tire is a little higher, so that means that you're just sticking, you have more surface area on the road, and you're sticking that much better to get that much more speed and traction. And within 2 to 3 laps, Daniel Ricciardo was having personal bests. He was shaving time off. He was going faster. He was being more consistent. There was less porpoising on the slicks on this track. And within 2 to 3 laps, half the team sent in their guys. The pit lane was very, very busy all of a sudden because all 10 teams sent one set of drivers in to get a set of slicks. And then literally the next lap, the other drivers from all 10 teams came and got their sets of slicks. So he did initially start the great tire swap of 2022, I'm calling it. And from that point on, with every single car having slicks on, the pace of the race itself just picked right up. Everyone was passing back, good turns, good fighting for position. It was a really great Formula One race. There was ton to keep a track of, especially in that mid team area. So we're talking positions probably between, I would say, 8th to 10th. Massive battle for position. There's passing, there's guarding, there's, you know, very, very good defensive driving. And all of this is being done without the DRS or the drag reduction system. They didn't turn that on until lap 35. And the reason for that is when you've got dry weather, hot weather, when you've got perfect weather, you do about 5 laps total and then DRS is enabled. Because you've got that extra traction, you've got that extra grip, and the car and the tires and the tarmac can handle the speed and the G-forces that is required from these cars now. But when it's cold, when it's wet, and when there is still residual water on the track, they don't put DRS in because that extra up to 20 miles an hour per car, when you get that downforce going, you can easily hit a wet spot and lose traction and spin and hit that wall doing 200 plus miles an hour. Or you can easily not be able to stop fast enough and just T-bone the side of another car, obviously unintentionally. But the stewards have decided that they didn't want to put DRS in until lap 35. And I personally think that was a fantastic idea. They're definitely thinking about race safety. the pace of the race, because you don't want to enable DRS, get a bunch of crashes, and then all of a sudden you have to slow the race down. People lose momentum and it just becomes almost an undrivable race. So I think it was a great idea having this two race director idea that they implemented this year. I think is fantastic. You've got fresh eyes per race where you get decisions like this, where they're going, you could put DRS in, but the track is still a little too wet. You know what? Let's hold off until we absolutely can't anymore, where the track is in great condition. And that's what they did this year. And it just brought a whole new level of strategy and concentration to the drivers. And it was just a phenomenal race to watch. So let's move on to some of the drivers and how well they did. Charles Leclerc started in second place from qualifying yesterday. He was doing pretty good on the intermediates, but I think the Ferrari and Leclerc this year, they do better on slicks, because as soon as you saw Leclerc switch from intermediates to slicks, it was like a whole new race car. He was challenging Max. He was pushing him to the limit around every corner, down every straight stretch. And you could see the Ferrari just take that nice deep breath and be like, all right, it's time to race. There's no more restrictions. I can go flat out. And the confidence is there in the car and in the driver going, you know what? Let's go. It's race time. No holds barred. Let's just get it done. And in the same breath, you can almost see the drivers relax a little bit more and get into their groove when they get off intermediates. Because when you go from intermediates to slicks, now you know what the track condition is. It's more familiar. It's more reliable. You can have a better understanding of what the tarmac's going to do, how the tires are going to stick, how your car is going to react. And you can just see the relaxation and then the refocus of the drivers going, it's time to go. So when Leclerc's on those slicks, great strategies, smart driving today. I mean, they left the midfield behind like there was no tomorrow. Like the rest of the field just didn't exist. Unfortunately for Leclerc, he got a little greedy. He was in second. He's trying to push Max, who was in the lead for the entire race up until that point. He's trying to push Max, trying to get that lead back to get those points, because it's race Sunday. This is when you're picking up those 25 or 26 points if you get the fastest lap. And I think he got a little greedy. He spun out on lap 55. He hit that white line. He hit a little bit of moisture on that racetrack where they hadn't been covered a whole lot. Spun out. He did hit the wall. He went across the gravel. He hit the wall. But the gravel slowed him down enough that he was able to get the car going again. He had dropped all the way down to eighth. And by the time the race was done, he did make his way back up to sixth. And unfortunately for him, that's where his day ended. He got a little greedy and that's where he ended up. Sometimes you gotta race smarter, not harder. I mean, you've got 63 laps. You're on lap 55. You do have one lap older tires, so you can still push Max. Make him make a mistake. Be patient. Show what you've learned all last season and through this season, and be the championship driver that he knows how to be. But you know what? He's going to learn from these mistakes. He's going to come back for the next race, and he's going to learn from it, and he's just going to be that much better of a driver himself. Besides the top three drivers, the main battle is in the midfield from position 6 to 14th, with two notable what we call battles going on, and that was between Yuki Tsunoda and Kevin Magnussen, and then Pierre Gasly and Lewis Hamilton. All four of them had, you know, pretty good to mediocre qualies on Friday. Their sprint races were pretty good, but you saw them gain that much more confidence and just really show their experience in the race today. I mean, Magnussen was holding off Tsunoda for I don't even remember how many laps. The AlphaTauris today were just coming for business and coming for points. And K-Mag did his best. He held him back for, you know, probably 10-plus laps just to try to get track position over Tsunoda just so he couldn't pass. But eventually, and Tsunoda really did have to try for this one. K-Mag was not going to give it up very easily, which is good to see that the youngster in Tsunoda is learning how to drive against veterans like Kevin Magnussen, because you can study it all you want. You can do simulators all you want, but until you actually race against them in this kind of situation where the cars are even, the track is even for everybody, that's where you're going to learn the points That's where you're going to learn the strategies, and you're going to remember the points that you make to yourself, going that mental adjustment, going when he goes left, I'm going to go right, and then just blow right past him. But that Tsunoda did take a spot from K-Mag, and then eventually getting another one up, going into seventh spot. Kevin Magnussen finishing in the points again today in ninth, which is fantastic for him. We'll get to him in a little bit later. Another great battle between Pierre Gasly and Lewis Hamilton today. Pierre Gasly is not technically known or typically known for great defensive driving. He does it every once in a while, once in a blue moon, and you're shocked and astonished, at least in my opinion. You can see he's on the cusp of being a fantastic driver for AlphaTauri, the number one driver, you know, from here on until the end of existence, I would think myself. But whatever he learned from whomever he learned for defensive driving, he really had to put it on today when it came to driving and defending against Lewis Hamilton. I mean, Hamilton is known for being able, if you give him an inch, he's going to squeeze that car right past you and make you look like an idiot. He's got that experience. He's got the time on the track, and he's got his own little tips and tricks. But Gasly held him off for lap after lap after lap after lap. And it was fantastic to see that Gasly's coming into his own with being confident in his driving and his abilities and the car itself. So it was fantastic to watch. It was exciting because you never quite knew who was going to pass. You never quite knew if someone was going to defend well or how any of it was going to end up. Let's move on to the Red Bulls. You know what they say, Red Bull does give you wings. And you know what, today Max had those wings from right off the line. He started in pole from a fantastic, smart, mature qualifying on Saturday in the sprint race, and he carried that maturity and the lessons he had learned today into the race. He led from start to finish, and we're talking like he didn't lead by 3 or 4 seconds. We didn't talk about he's leading by 5 or 6 seconds. He won the race 16.5 seconds ahead of the closest driver behind him, which happened to be his teammate Checo Perez today. I'm telling you, when these Red Bulls don't break down mechanical issues, when the drivers are on point, they will win championships just like last year. They are going to challenge Ferrari to be better every weekend, week in, week out, race in, weather conditions, track, it doesn't matter. I think Red Bull, and especially Max, with the new maturity he's showing and the patience that he's taking to drive the way the car drives, not making the car drive the way he is, I think the champ's back. I'm saying it now. The champion's back. He's got his head on straight now. He's got all the hiccups and the yips and all that kind of stuff behind him in the first couple races. They've got everything squared away. They did have a new kit on for this race. They are a couple of kilos heavier, which brings them down to about the same weight as Ferrari. They're within a couple of kilos, but it's so close now, and you can really see that these bulls are running. They're gonna destroy the streets in Italy and any race from here on till the end of the season. It's watch out. They're back. They're taking points. They're taking poles. They're gonna win the constructors' championships. I'm saying Max is winning the drivers' championship as well. He's going to run away with it because he's got things figured out, and it's just only going to get better from here. The weather didn't affect him one bit. Dry track, wet track, intermediate, it doesn't matter today for the Red Bulls, and it's not going to matter for the rest of the year. The track conditions, the weather, it doesn't affect these guys. They are so tuned in, they're so zoned in that you can throw a hurricane at them and they're going to drive straight through it, and they're going to get the points that they deserve and the points that they need. Switching over to the Silver Arrows, we're talking about Mercedes, we're talking about the Mercs, and well, at least one Merc is deadly and one Merc is almost dead in the water in my opinion by this point. Russell, he finished fourth today. He gained another 6 spots from where he was in the sprint race yesterday. Showing great maturity, showing great patience again. When he was driving for Williams, he never had exactly the best track record when it came to off weather and wet tracks or intermediate driving in general. I think he's really got this dialed in. He did very well, super consistent, solid race. he's got a great future in Mercedes ahead of him. I mean, there's not a whole lot new that I can say about George Russell, except that, I mean, I still see him as the first driver for Mercedes. In my mind, it's going to be sooner rather than later if Hamilton doesn't pick it up. From a technical point of view, yes, their cars are a little different, but not enough to make up the difference for the fact that Hamilton was stuck in 14th spot. He was stuck behind Gasly. He was stuck behind an Alfa Romeo. And I don't remember the last time he was stuck behind a mid-grid team for literally over half a race. He's struggling to keep pace today. The tires were not an issue. Thank God the tires were not an issue for him today. But, I mean, he's not challenging. I don't think he has faith in the car technology yet. He says he's still learning. He says there's a lot of inroads to make and a lot of adjustments to make. But they're making adjustments, big adjustments, from race to race to race. Like, their car keeps getting smaller and thinner. If you look at the rest of the cars, the majority of them are nice and wide and they're nice and low to keep them suctioned to the ground. The silver arrows are looking more like an arrow. They keep getting thinner and thinner and thinner. And I don't think it's helping them any. I think it's actually making it worse because the porpoising, he's bouncing up and down more and more and more and more. And I mean, somebody out there's got to be like, hey, if we're going in this direction and it's definitely not working, let's take our time, but let's do it strategically. How about we go the other direction? How about we start using at least some ideas from the rest of the cars to get a little lower and to get a little wider? Look at Ferrari. When they came out, there were so many critics and drivers that are looking at it going, this car doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It looks weird. It looks slow. Like, what's this for? What's that for? And then Lewis Hamilton comes out. He takes a look at the car and he said, and I quote, it looks like Ferrari is 3 months ahead of everybody else in development. And you know what? He's right. Because look at the results that the Ferrari car is making and look at the results that the Mercs are making. Mercedes is going backwards before they go forwards. He didn't make an impact on this race at all. He hung at the back of the pack. He did the best he could. I think his driving is still a little, not suspect's not the right word, but it's a little tame. There's a huge question mark behind his driving because I still think he's learning the vehicle. First time it was an actual, you know, intermediate race with the track, but normally we've seen him turn full wet tires into slicks, essentially creating a new tire and winning the race. And it looked like he was a new driver, like he doesn't know the car this race. It's a little disappointing to see. I mean, in my opinion, he's fading fast. That I know it's only four races in, and the Mercedes faithful and anybody who's watching Formula One that knows as much as I do, if not more, is going to tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about and that I'm writing him off way too soon. But it's not the fact that I'm writing him off way too soon. I'm just worried about the fact that you're going to look at him and you're going to look at the technology and you're going to look at the seven championships he won before going, you put him in an average car, he's an average driver. You put him in a $300 million developed Formula One car, and of course he's going to win. Anybody's going to win. But if the technology's there, his results are not there. And I don't see him making up any ground hope anytime soon. Maybe by mid-season break. I'm hoping to do that. I'm hoping he'll do that. But I mean, what else can he do? He can only apologize for the car performance so often. He can only sit by and do nothing for so long. And pretty soon he's not going to be relevant in the races anymore. It's just going to be, yep, Hamilton finished 11th or 12th. He's getting lapped by cars that should not be lapping him. And I can't even imagine what's going through his mind right now. I would be so incredibly frustrated with the team, but there's only so much you can do. You can only just put your nose to the grindstone, keep working, have faith in your team that they will figure this out and that it's only going to get better from here. And last but not least, I think we're going to cover some of the new fan favorite, the new and best underdog story in Formula One. We're talking about Haas. I mean, unfortunately, Mick Schumacher 17th because of the crash today. He tried his best. He just wasn't on pace today. I would call this a one-off for him. Haters are going to say that it just looks like the Haas of old, you know, the bottom of the pack, can't keep pace. You know, the delivery system is just not there. It was lucky that they got as far as they have, but I just think it was an off race for Mick Schumacher. He's going to come back next race. He's going to do better. He's always learning. He's always improving. That's what he does. That's what his dad did, and that's what he taught his son. And Schumacher's coming up. He's winning points, I'm going to say, in the next two races. The next two races, I guarantee you as much as I possibly can that Mick Schumacher is going to get points. I'm not saying he's going to get a podium, but he is going to start to get points in the next two races. Driving partner Kevin Magnussen, like we had talked about before, fantastic race. Magnussen got in the points again. He got ninth. That got him 2 points again today. That gives him 15 points total on the season, and we're only four races in. Like, man, he's the comeback kid. He wasn't supposed to be driving this season at all. He wasn't supposed to be in Formula One anymore. He had other prospects with the Le Mans 24 hours. He had some off-road acquisitions and some opportunities that he was taking advantage of. And then he gets his phone call with, you know, less than a month before the Formula One season going, hey, you want to come back? And he didn't even think about it. He's like, yep, you know what? I'm coming back. And I'm so incredibly glad that he's coming back. He's pushing people like Vettel and Tsunoda and Bottas and Russell like they're not quite used to. They're used to everybody else on the track that they've driven against for the last couple years that were always behind them. At some point, you know what your competition's going to do. But then when you get a mid to low level grid team coming up and all of a sudden they're challenging, you don't know what to expect. And K-Mag's got more experience than half of these guys put together. So he's got his own little tricks. He's got his own little theories. He's got his own little ideas on how this is going to work and that's going to work. And he's shown great confidence, great resilience. It's something that Haas needed desperately. I personally think because of his driving, that's why Haas got another sponsor that we talked about yesterday. I only see him going higher and higher. And by the end of the season, I'm saying Haas is seriously going to push for the mid-grid points in the constructors. I can see them going as high as fifth on the pace that they're going. I'd like to see Schumacher contribute a little bit more, but Kevin Magnussen, I mean, he keeps on this roll and the sky's the limit. He's going to be top five drivers in absolutely no time. So it's great to see. I hope he keeps going up. The team's got to be ecstatic with him. And I see him signing a contract extension sooner rather than later, whether he meant to do it or not. Top 10 results, or the top 10 spots of the race today. From start to finish, like I said, Max Verstappen, he started on pole, he finished. That's 25 points for him. Plus, he got the fastest lap, so that makes it 26 points. Followed by his teammate Checo Perez in second, Lando Norris in third, George Russell in fourth, Valtteri Bottas in fifth, Charles Leclerc in sixth, Yuki Tsunoda in seventh, Sebastian Vettel in eighth, K-Mag in ninth, and Lance Stroll, who we haven't heard a whole lot of today, comes in 10th. So it's nice to see the Aston Martins picking up some points. It's the first real points that they've gotten this season. Lance Stroll's dad owns the team. He bought a majority stake in there, and there's already rumors that he's looking to sell the team to Porsche, who's looking to come in around 2026. So that'll be a very interesting development once we get more information. Once I know, I'm going to let you guys know. I'm happy to see them get some points. Hopefully they just keep getting better from here. So the next time I'm going to talk to you guys, it's going to be round 5, May 8th. That's right. We've got a Grand Prix on Mother's Day at 1:30 p.m. in the afternoon. So let's make sure you take mom out for a nice early brunch. You get set up in front of the TV because it is the all brand new Miami Grand Prix. That's right, baby. We're going to Miami, baby. That's like sunshine, palm trees, Miami Vice. It's going to be a fantastic race. I'll see you guys on Mother's Day.